Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Chemplast Sanmar Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ramkumar Shankar, Managing Director from Chemplast Sanmar Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone for joining us on our call today. On this call, I am joined by our CFO, Mr. N. Muralidharan, Dr. Krishna Kumar Rangachari, Deputy Managing Director, Custom Manufactured Chemicals Division, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the financial results and the investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. In the quarter gone by, we finished the first of our multiple CapEx projects, which we announced at the time of our IPO, the debottlenecking of our suspension PVC capacity at our Cuddalore plant. While this is a small project, its timely completion in spite of COVID-related disruptions reflects our commitment towards growth and a strong project execution capability. With the completion of this project by the end of May, which was ahead of the time that we had announced, we now have 331,000 tons per year production capacity of suspension PVC. We have already started realizing the additional capacity from June onwards. I'd like to take a brief moment to talk about the suspension PVC landscape in India. The demand for suspension PVC in India was around 3.3 million tons in FY20. There has been some drop over the next 2 years due to the pandemic, but this year has started very strongly, and we believe that demand would be restored to pre-pandemic levels in the current year itself. By 2026, the suspension PVC demand in India is expected to grow to around 4.25 million-4.5 million tons, and with the current capacity of only around 1.5 million tons, that would mean a significant gap of 3 million tons. As all of you would be aware, there has been a new project announced for 1 million tons per year of suspension PVC capacity, which is likely to come in phases starting FY26. This additional capacity, when it comes in, will only serve to reduce the demand-supply gap from the expected 3 million tons to around 2 million tons. The gap will therefore be quite substantial. Moreover, new capacities are likely to fuel further demand growth given the confidence level in downstream processors on feedstock supply. This is particularly so since the per capita consumption of PVC in India is one-third to one-fourth of that in comparable countries, and there is a lot of potential demand. Internationally as well, over the next 5 years, estimates have been made by global analysts and industry watchers that put the demand growth at 9 million tons over this period against a supply growth of only around 4 million tons. Thus, while the last 3 months have thrown up some temporary challenges due to COVID lockdowns in China, the medium to long-term outlook for suspension PVC remains positive. Coming to our performance during the quarter, despite a very challenging environment, we delivered another quarter with a strong 47% growth in revenues on a year-on-year basis and 28% growth in EBITDA on a year-on-year basis. Sequentially, however, our profits are lower than Q4 of FY22 due to the flood of PVC exports from China into India on account of the COVID-related lockdowns in that country. Energy costs have also gone up, largely due to a spike in coal and natural gas prices. I'd like to highlight that currently, commodity business dominates our sales pie with close to 65% of our sales. However, in terms of profitability, our specialty business accounts for more than 50% of our EBITDA. In the long term, once our proposed expansions of both Paste PVC and the Custom Manufactured Chemicals division, once our expansions come on stream, the specialty vehicle would contribute a larger share of both revenues and profitability. With respect to our performance across our key product categories, on the PVC front, prices came under pressure as the lockdowns in China had an impact on consumption centers, whereas the production centers were not impacted. As a result, the excess PVC inventory that was built up in China was exported out of China, and this kept the prices low across the region. However, feedstock prices have also come down quite significantly following this, and indeed, on a marginal basis, the spreads between PVC and VCM are still healthy. Currently, HPVC India prices are at $1,050 a ton CFR India, while VCM Asia prices are around $740 a ton. The benefit of this will be realized as the prices stabilize. This flood of Chinese exports, we believe, is a temporary phenomenon linked to their lockdowns, and we are confident that things will normalize over the next couple of months. This temporary increase in Chinese imports has also affected Paste PVC prices. On both suspension and Paste PVC, we seem to see some stability having been achieved right now. Custom manufacturing along with specialty Paste PVC is an important part of our specialty business. Here, as we have mentioned earlier, our existing assets are operating close to optimum levels. Inquiries for custom manufacturing business continue to remain strong. We did some debottlenecking last year, and we continue to have some more debottlenecking exercises that are ongoing as we hope to spread the assets further. As there is a limit to the extent of debottlenecking that we can do, we have already triggered the CapEx project related to the next phase of investment aimed at increasing the capacity on-site. Environmental permits have been received and construction has started on the first phase. Once that comes on stream, we will be able to again ramp up our volumes. We are happy to report that during the quarter, the CMC division has received the sustainability award from one of its key customers for carbon reduction. Overall, our specialty chemicals segment registered a 33% increase in the revenues on a year-on-year basis, primarily driven by growth in sales volume. The other products in our portfolio, caustic soda, chloromethanes, and hydrogen peroxide, complete the integration play across our manufacturing facility. Caustic soda prices continued to be strong in the quarter. Chloromethanes feed into the agrochemical and pharma sectors primarily, and demand has continued to stay strong. As a whole, the non-specialty chemical segment registered a 94% increase in the revenues on a year-on-year basis, mainly led by a surge on the prices, especially for caustic soda. Suspension PVC revenues increased by 42% on a year-on-year basis, driven by a 40% increase in the sales volumes. And a part of this volume increase is due to the completion of the debottlenecking by the end of May. Going forward, we are committed to make future investments to support cash flow growth and shareholders' return. As we speak, we are closely evaluating select growth opportunities over and beyond our existing announced CapEx plan. These encompass options like capacity expansion in existing products, backward integration, and product portfolio expansion, leveraging our current existing strength. We will keep you posted as we firm up the plans. Now I would request our CFO, Muralidharan, to share the quarterly financial highlights. Murali?
Thank you, Ramkumar, and a very good afternoon to all the participants on the call. The company reported a good performance for Q1 FY23, owing to strong volume growth across all its products. During this period, Chemplast has been able to demonstrate the strength of its business dynamics in the face of challenging circumstances. The revenue from operations for Q1 FY23 was at 1,411 crores, higher by 47% on year-on-year basis, primarily on account of higher volumes across our product portfolio. EBITDA for the quarter was at 194 crores, registering a growth of 28% on year-on-year basis. The zero COVID policy in China and the resultant COVID-related shutdown there have resulted in a sharp contraction of demand for PVC resin in that country. On account of this, there is a spike in exports of PVC resin from China, resulting in a steep fall in finished product prices in India as well as feedstock prices. In line with generally accepted accounting principle, we have written down the carrying value of stocks of major intermediates and finished products to levels corresponding to the net realizable value of finished products, leading to an exceptional charge of Rs. 81 crores in Q1 FY23. our finance cost for the quarter has been reduced to 36 crores as compared to rupees 100 crores in Q1 of FY22. This is largely driven by the reduction of debt compared to the corresponding period last year, as well as the reduction in the interest rates. The PAT for the quarter was at 41 crores compared to a PAT of 29 crores in corresponding quarter last year. The profits, however, were down on a sequential basis, primarily due to the temporary Chinese situation that Rahmar spoke about earlier. With this, I conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself in the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So can you please share the number, what kind of inventory we have at the end of June quarter for suspension and paste PVC?
As finished products, we had 10,163 tons of suspension PVC and around 4,500 tons of paste PVC as finished products.
Okay, got it. Now, considering that we took the inventory write-down, which clearly explains that on that inventory, we won't be making a positive EBITDA, so does that continue in July and August, considering that we have seen a sharp decline in PVC as well as VCM prices? So, does that inventory issue continue for July and August?
All right. This is Ram Kumar here. I'll take that question. This drop in prices will affect really the inventory that we have as at the end of June until it goes out. The drop in prices continued till about the third week of July. After that, it has stabilized. In fact, we are seeing some stability in prices for the last 10 days or so, and there is a general feel in the market that the bottom has been reached. The prices of feedstocks have also come down significantly, like I mentioned in my opening comments. And right now, the PVC price is at $1,050 and the VCM price is at around $700. Therefore, it's just a question of time for the existing old stocks to move out of the door, and then we will start seeing the benefit of this spread that is there on a marginal basis.
So how long, how much inventory we have for VCM? How many days?
So, on an overall basis, taking VCM and PVC together, we have the inventory that we carried at the as of June end was at around 35,000 tons of for suspension PVC and around 22,000 tons for paste PVC.
Okay. So my point is, you are saying that the prices were falling till the third week of July. So that inventory which we have bought till the third week of July will continue till August month, which effectively will mean that July and August will not contribute much to the profit. Is that conclusion correct or no?
Around part of August, I would say.
Okay, fine, got it. Now, on the paste PVC side, is the price decline in line with suspension? So, is this because of imports or is this a market phenomena that generally paste PVC prices fall in line with suspension? How does that work?
This is largely because of imports. Like I said, this was a very unique situation that has happened over the last 4 months, where China had, China's capacities are largely concentrated in the north and the west of the region closer to their coal reserves. They have around 20 million tons out of their 26 million tons of capacity in that region, whereas the demand, 70% of the demand of around 21 million tons, so around 14.5 million tons of demand comes from the south and the east. Unfortunately, the lockdowns were all in places like Shanghai, which are on the eastern side, which led to the PVC demand coming down, while the PVC production continued. That obviously led to inventory building up in China. And China normally exports, you know, across both PVC, they could export around 100,000 tons of PVC a month. That this went up to over 300,000 tons per month in the last 3 months or 4 months. And that was really the crux of the problem, that imbalance between production and consumption that happened within China. However, we are seeing, like I said, some stability right now. In fact, the Chinese futures market, which dropped to around 6,000 RMB by 15th of July, is currently at around 6,800, above 6,800. So we are seeing some stability and some positive signs there.
But this is...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mada.
Yes?
So may we request that you return to the question queue? There are part
I have a follow-up on the same question, just 1 minute.
All right, sir.
Yeah. So my point was that this is mainly regarding to suspension. Does the same logic apply to paste PVC as well in terms of demand, supply and imports?
Yes, it does. It does. Because the same, both in suspension and paste, China's capacity is largely tilted towards the carbide route. And that is all there in the north part of the country, which is where their coal reserves are. And that's really what the issue.
Okay. Now, just one bookkeeping question. Can you explain what was the power and fuel cost?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Mada, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Chintan Cheda from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is related to some bookkeeping things. So in this quarter, when I subtract the Chemplast Sanmar standalone from the consolidated revenue, we normally end up deriving the CCVL revenue, which is effectively our suspension PVC sales. So this time that number is around 841 crores, but in investor presentation, the SPVC revenue is 923 crores. So what exactly I am missing over here?
No, there is an intercompany sale between Chemplast Sanmar and CCVL. To support CCVL imports VCM, Chemplast Sanmar utilized its LC limits and imported 2 parcels of VCM and supplied to CCVL. So that will be an intercompany sale that has been knocked out.
Okay, so this purchase of stock in trade of 130 crore, that pertains to this intercompany sales?
Yes, you are right.
Okay, and so secondly, our operating expenses in CCVL look little bit higher this time compared to Q4, despite the lower volumes. So was there any one-off over here?
There is no specific one-off this year. It's primarily due to the slightly higher, higher volumes would mean higher freight expenses and also slightly higher repairs and maintenance expenses and packing expenses. And also the cost of power and fuel per se has also gone up in the quarter.
So how much was the quarter-on-quarter increase in the power and fuel expenses? So in absolute numbers, if you can state.
Overall basis, the increase in power and fuel cost on a year-on-year basis was almost around 71 crores. If you look at on a consolidated basis, overall other expenses is moved up by 96 crores, on which actually power and fuel constituted almost 71 crores.
No, in Q1 FY23, what was the power and fuel cost? And in Q4 FY22, how much was that? If you could provide me with that number.
Yeah, in Q1 FY23, overall power and fuel cost was 168 crores. And Q1 FY22, it was at 97 crores. Q4 FY22, it was at 127 crores.
Okay, got that. And sir,
sorry to interrupt now, Mr. Cheda. May we request
that?
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Raj Gandhi from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So this is a follow-up on the operating expense itself. So on this question of higher OpEx, if we see Q-on-Q, your OpEx per ton has moved from $308 to $460 per ton. If I were to just take so what has resulted in this almost $150 increase in OpEx Q-on-Q? And even if I compare your last eight quarters, your average OpEx is about $330 per ton, whereas this quarter it is about $460 per ton.
Key reasons for the movement in other expenses is primarily power and fuel. Like I explained, on an overall basis, power and fuel contributed almost 71 crores out of the 96 crores increase. And in fact, it is primarily due to the coal cost increase. As you know, natural gas prices have gone up, and those also added to the power and fuel cost. And that's the primary reason for the increase. Other than that, increase is mainly driven by the volumes. Whatever is the volume, that has contributed.
I'm talking per ton, sir. So if you could just help me with this, let's say Q1 23, what was the overall power and fuel cost within that other expense?
Overall power and fuel cost in Q1 23, FY 23 is 168 crores. On an overall basis, it's 168 crores. Previous year, Q1, it was 97 crores.
Okay. And what was it in Q4 of previous year, sir?
127 crores.
Okay. Okay, sure. I'll come back for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I have two questions. First, on this 1 million ton expansions which you are taking up, will this be a VCM route only or EDC route? And how would the capital employed per ton different for both production method? And related question, what are the other capacities coming up in India given that there is 2 million ton deficit?
Okay. I think the 1 million ton project that you're talking about is the Adani project. So we have not announced any increase. The increase is announced by the Adani Group. So that is, they had originally announced a 2 million ton expansion, but I think in the last AGM, they have brought it down to 1 million tons, which will be done in phases. And that will be at a capital cost of around $2 billion.
Okay.
Your second question, whether this will affect the balance, it will not really, because by the time it comes on, the gap between demand and supply for PVC in India would be around 4.25-4.5 million tons. So even if a 1 million ton were to come in, the gap would still be around 3 million tons, which is higher than the gap that is there today. So actually, we will be faced with an even more tight situation.
Okay. And sir, we see that the VCM margins are much lower compared to an EDC-based production. So how are the raw material costs different for both the operations in terms of for every 1 million ton of PVC, how much EDC or how much VCM is required?
Okay. If you're going through the VCM route, it is primarily a one-to-one. Therefore, for 1 million tons of PVC, you would need 1 million tons of VCM. And if you have a completely integrated plant which has its own oxychlorination and direct chlorination, then you would require around 0.8 tons of oxychlorination EDC and 0.8 tons of direct chlorination EDC per ton of PVC. So it's basically 800,000 for a million ton plant of oxy and 800,000 tons of direct chlorination EDC.
How is the capital employed difference for both types of capacities?
Obviously, the capital required, the investment required for a fully integrated plant would be far higher. That is why you also capture more of the value addition in that process. And you're doing it only out of VCM. The capital investment required would be far, far lower. That would be an asset-light model. But then the unit margins would also be that much lower.
Okay. And sir, last question on the Chinese impact. When do you see this getting reversed? You mentioned there is a 15% recovery in the realization in the futures market. And are you also seeing any government interventions which can help reduce the influx in India?
Okay, that's a good question. As far as the recovery is concerned, the first requirement really was stability. And I think that that seems to have been reached right now. That is stability right now. And the minute the Chinese demand recovers, we would start seeing the recovery. I'm not able to give you an exact date for that. All I can point to are the signals that we are getting from the market, which shows that the stability has been reached and possibly there are signs of reversal. For us, just the stability is good enough because we will start then looking at the, we will start realizing this spread that we have since the feedstock prices have also fallen. Mm-hmm. As far as the industry measures are concerned, yes, the industry is definitely worried about this kind of a flood in imports coming in from a country like China. And the industry is working closely with government and has represented to government for various to initiate various measures. And as and when those efforts are successful, we will keep you informed.
Sure. Thanks, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akul Brochwala from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Just wanted to check, can you just help us with, you know, existing prices of suspension PVC and VCM that are prevailing right now?
Suspension PVC right now, CFR India prices are at around $1,050. There are some quotes lower, some quotes higher, but if you look at the more serious quotes, we are talking about $1,050 per ton. And the VCM prices are currently ruling at CFR Asia level, which is the indicative level, of around $700 a ton.
Okay, and like directionally, do you expect, so once things normalize in China, so would you expect that these prices will kind of sustain going forward at higher levels, or is there still some kind of, you know, quantities left that might affect going forward, at least in 2Q?
We think that this, at least on suspension PVC, definitely some space. The signals that we are getting, it looks like the bottom has been reached. And that's why I said even the future seems to be going up. But of course, we'll have to wait and watch. But at least there is some stability. And VCM is closely tracking. We are seeing this kind of, in fact, in the last earnings call, I had mentioned that the spread is usually between 325 to 400. There are outliers where which are far higher. But if you remove those, it's usually around this range. And we are pretty confident that at a stable level, this kind of a spread should be there.
Understood. And this kind of trend is also visible for paste PVC as well? Or over there, I mean, are we witnessing some better improvement?
Paste PVC as well, there is stability right now. And there again, the offtake also. The one thing that is I should mention here is that both on suspension and paste, there is a lot of, you know, the when the prices were falling regularly between in the last 3 months, there was not much of stocking happening across the travel, the trade channels. Therefore, there is very little inventory level spread over the trade channels. So I think it's time for people to stock up as well. So paste, we are seeing a good traction in terms of orders. And we believe that that is a good sign. That is the first sign of hopefully a recovery.
Understood. And is it also to do with seasonality, specifically in India, like given, you know, right now the monsoons are there, so does it also have a seasonal impact during the first half?
Yeah, seasonality in paste PVC is not so much there, but definitely during, actually there's a positive seasonality impact during festive seasons and school seasons, you will start seeing a higher demand growth, largely because, you know, this largely goes into footwear. It goes into a lot of leather articles which are gifted and so on. And especially during the winter months, the leather jackets will also be produced. As far as suspension PVC is concerned, usually the southwest monsoon period is when there is a little less of a demand, which is usually between July and between June and August. And we are nearing the end of that. So once that period ends, usually there is a good spike in demand. So we are looking forward to the end of the monsoon period to see that spike in suspension PVC. Paste, there is not so much of a seasonal impact.
Got it. And secondly, on contract manufacturing.
Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue?
Sure. Sure, I'll come back to the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. You just mentioned that the paste PVC does not have much seasonal impact, but when we look at the specialty chemicals volumes, this has come down from 22,000 tons that we have seen in Q4 to around 13,600 tons in Q1. So what explains sort of the sudden decrease in the sales volume?
Yeah. In Q4, we went into Q4 carrying stocks of paste PVC. So we liquidated a lot of that in Q4. So in Q1, we are really selling what we produce. And because of the falling prices scenario, people, like I explained, were not buying to stock. They were buying only to need. And therefore, there was that 4,500 tons of inventory that built up by the end of June, as Murali also explained. So that explains that drop between Q4 and Q1.
Right. Second question was about basically the competition that we are facing from China. So what is typical order cycle when the Chinese competition comes in? How much time it takes from order to material to receives? Basically, I just want to understand how much more month of the imports we can face for the orders which has already been placed.
Yeah. So I think the worst is behind us. I believe so. Of course, time will tell us, but that is the reason for the stability that we are seeing currently. And the fact that we are not seeing too much of Chinese quotes coming in at this point in time.
Okay. And there was also sort of the news around that Egypt has put in anti-dumping duty on U.S., and because of that, the U.S. materials would have to sort of find out the alternate destination. So how does that impact the PVC market?
Yeah, U.S. material has it has been coming into India, but the problem for the U.S. coming into India is the distance and the time that it will take for the material to actually land here. So, the shipping time itself would be around 45 days, and that would mean significant price and exchange risk, etc. So to that kind of is the difference for the U.S. material coming all the way to India. That is why they prefer selling largely into Latin America and into Europe, and of course, the MENA region. But that is fine because now that we are having the monsoon ending, that the demand will also go up sharply. And with the trade channels not having enough inventory because of what happened over the last 4 months, we hope to see good demand coming in.
Just one more question, if I can just put in. In terms of the overall demand, gloves-related demand has also come off very significantly with the COVID-related spread easing out. So does that also have an impact on the PVC demand-supply balance?
True. So glove demand was largely in China. It's not so much in India. So in India, as you see, there is very little glove demand. There are very little glove manufacturing capacity in India. Largely, it is either in Southeast Asia or in China. So it has never been a factor in India. And even when
Is that the reason the Chinese exports is increasing because their gloves demand is has reduced, and because of that, the Chinese exports have increased? So apart from the lockdown, is that the factor which is increasing the Chinese export?
That is a minor factor, but the larger factor is the lockdowns, because this reduction in the glove demand happened even last year. We didn't see this kind of imports coming in from China. So what has really resulted in this flood of imports from China is really the lockdowns, the skewed lockdowns. Basically, the lockdowns being in the demand area while the production areas continue to operate.
Sure, sir. I'll go back in the queue. Thanks for your answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One was a little bit on the strategy side. So the volatility that we keep seeing is probably because we sell everything on spot. So as a strategy, just wanted to know your thought of selling certain portions of our volume on contract basis where we can fix prices and thereby reduce the volatility that we see in our earnings.
Okay. That's an interesting question. See, we would rather not have one side of the equation fixed and one side of the equation floating, because then in some cases if it goes against you, it could be disastrous. For instance, we can't afford to have our feedstock floating on a month-to-month basis while the finished product alone is fixed. The way we are doing it right now is that both are based on that month's pricing. So to that extent, it normally works out for us. Normally, we get a very good spread out margins over the years. It is only in exceptional situations like what we've seen in the last 3 months or 4 months, where there's been a sudden increase in import layer quantities from 100,000 tons to 320,000 tons or so per month. And that too in a time when the monsoons are here and therefore the demand is a little weaker because of the seasonal impact. And that was really, the problem. So it was not really because of having the prices on a spot basis or on a fixed basis.
Okay. So where I was coming from is that I believe that we keep an inventory of roughly 40-45 days. So if we can, for certain, say 30-40% of our finished goods maybe enter into a fixed price contract for, say, a month or so, thereby, we lock in the spreads that we can make, thereby reducing the volatility. Anyways, my next question was on the paste PVC. Is there any stickiness with the customers, in terms of quality or anything on that side, if you can throw some light? And secondly, where are we in announcing our expansion for the SPVC? Are we still some time away?
Okay. Three things. The first thing is, let me correct your impression. We don't carry 45 days of inventory at all. Normally, our inventory on PVC, be it suspension or paste, is hardly 3 days. That is in a normal situation. The current situation where we are carrying the inventory that Murli spoke about was only because of the fact that prices were falling and nobody was, people were ordering to need rather than to usual stock levels. That was the only reason. Normally, if you go back in history as well, you would find that our finished product inventory is hardly 3 days or so.
Referring to the raw material inventory.
Even our raw material inventory would not be for 45 days, because even if you take ECM, our storage facility itself is only for around, less than 20 days of holding capacity. So we will not even be able to hold even if we want 45 days of inventory. That aside, the second question you had was on, the specialty, the stickiness of paste customers and quality. We are the largest player in the paste PVC industry in India, and we are 4 times the size of the only other player. And we have been around since 1967 in the paste PVC industry. A large number of our customers have all grown around us, and therefore they have a significant stickiness as far as we are concerned. In fact, most of our relationships go to over 20 years, etc. If you look at our total number of customers, we have around 350 customers in paste PVC. We have one customer who is greater than, 50 years. We have at least 100 customers who have a relationship with us over 20 years and so on. Therefore, and most of their product processing formulae are spec in our product. So that is that has never been an issue. I think we enjoy a good reputation and we work hard at preserving that reputation. The third question was on suspension PVC capacity. As you just realized, suspension PVC capacity increase would be highly capital intensive. A 1 million ton capacity was recently announced at $2 billion on an integrated basis. If you were to do it on a non-integrated basis, then you would need to look at feedstock tying up, etc. Right now, we are not in any anywhere close to a final investment decision on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ananda Padmanabhan from PGIM India AMC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, just wanted to understand that 80 crores impact that you have taken, that is based on the price movement till June end, right? And the price fall that has happened in July is yet to be accounted. That's why one should understand this.
It takes into account the price fall that has happened in July.
Okay, so it's so even the July price fall has been taken into account in your in the 80 crores exceptional income that you have taken. That way, one should understand it.
Yes.
Okay. So, for practical purpose, should then one assume that incrementally the closing stock that you will be selling that will be based on the spot spreads?
Not
hypothetically speaking, in terms of the margin that you will be realizing in it would be based on the spot spread, because already taken the margin that you will be booking in the in Q2 will be more based on the spot spreads. Is one should understand this?
Not on the closing stock. The closing stock will have to go out of the gate, and then any new production beyond the closing stock that we have will be on spot spreads.
Okay, but the closing stock itself would be the, we have already taken into account the fall, price fall that has happened in July. You already taken that into the closing stock price, right? That's what I could understand from your response.
Yeah, we have brought it down. We have brought it down to the level of net realizable value, but you may not get the spot spread on that. Basically, you are bringing the cost down to the net realizable value. They are both match up. So, okay. To that extent, you cannot get the spot spread. Like Ram says, as the closing stock moves out, we will start realizing the newer production comes in, we will start realizing the spot spread. But also, as the prices, if they start moving up, that will also add to the spread, even in the stock that we carry.
So, any guidance in terms of how should we look at the absolute EBITDA that you would be reporting for Q2?
No, we normally don't give guidance on the EBITDA for the future. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking the question. A few from myself. First, on the volume front, on the specialty, sorry, I have joined late, probably would have answered, but just for my clarification. So we have 66,000 metric ton, we have sold close to 14,000. So the average run rate has to be 17,000 crore. Was there an issue even on the demand side, or is it just a destocking which we have seen on the client side in the anticipation of price fall, which has led to the slowdown in the volume sales for this quarter?
Yeah, it is not because of the price fall. See, normally when prices fall, the prices are on a falling trend. Customers don't want to be on the wrong side of a pricing decision. Therefore, they tend to stock less and wait for and buy only for need. Whereas in a rising price market, they tend to buy more and stock more. So it is more a question of sentiment and expectation. And this is really because of that.
So basically, client destocking is what has led to the lower volumes than what we would have otherwise done generally, right?
Right,
and when
right.
The prices stabilize or move up, you would see them restocking, and this will be covered sometime in 2Q or 3Q, right?
Correct. Especially now that, you know, there is some stability that has been, that seems to have been reached, we are seeing that pull coming back, largely because there's very thin inventory levels across the chain.
Got it. Second on the spreads, okay, if I look at the spreads in the Southeast Asia, those spreads have either remained stable or only hardened. And in India, we have other tailwind like currency depreciating from 75 till 80 now. And I know there is some headwind also in terms of lower custom duty, which will hurt our margin. Why is the difference being so drastic in terms of how the spreads are behaving today? For us, or if the spot market is different than what the result is showing up, how to reconcile all these data points?
Okay. See, when the prices keep falling, you don't get the benefit of the fall in feedstock prices, because what happens is constantly there is inventory loss. Which is why I said right at the very beginning that it is only when the prices stabilize that you will start getting the benefit of the lower feedstock prices as well. And that stability has to come. We believe that it has come. And if that stability persists and we get the older stock out, then for all the newer stock, like we answered in the previous question also, all the newer production that we make, you will start seeing the benefit of the spot spread. But you will need to wait for, you know, the stocks, older stocks to go out of the gate.
And how to look at Southeast Asia spread, currency, and all those things?
Okay. All right.
One thing is currency doesn't really impact us too much on, you know, suspension PVC or prices, because most of our product prices are based on import parity levels. Therefore, if the rupee depreciates, then the rupee value of an import quote in dollars is actually higher. So to that extent, we have a natural hedge. But over and above that, in all our feedstock, anyways, we hedge the feedstock. We take our plain vanilla forward contract, so we do not take on forex risks there. So we have no surprises down the road on foreign exchange. That is on that. On Southeast Asia, the Indian prices are always very different from the Southeast Asian prices on PVC, largely because of the fact that the supply-demand imbalance is so huge in India that the quotes that come into India are at a different level. So we do have that that showing up in the spreads that you see.
Got it. Just one correction there, just for my understanding. I thought currency depreciation would have been positive for us because the spreads in dollar term would have remained constant and currency conversion in rupee would have benefited us.
That's what I said. So I said because we are denominated on import parity pricing, rupee depreciation doesn't go against us. It does work in our favor. Therefore, the spread would also be okay. So a $300, let's say it's a margin of $300, at 75 rupees and at 80 rupees, we get the benefit of that extra 5 rupees on the $300. On obviously certain things like coal imports, etc., the depreciation in the rupee would add to our cost. So, but not large. On the more important thing like spreads, it doesn't affect us, it actually benefits us.
Okay. So just to understand, I don't know if you would have that number. If you were to sell on the spot or if you want to benchmark on the spot today, what will be the suspension PVC spread we would be making today?
Today, the import price, the import parity price is around $1,050. And today's VCM price is roughly, CFR Asia is around $700.
So we are still making that $300 which we were making earlier, right?
Give or take, yes. On the spot basis, you would. But that is what I keep saying. So the older stock goes out and then you'll start seeing the benefit of this stock.
So what say in the Q3 when older stock...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sanjesh.
Yes.
Sir, may we request?
I'll come back.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, this one last one. So just to understand, so Q3 when all the things of the older stuff are out and we are more normalized, we should hit the $300 kind of a spread. Will that be a fair assumption?
Hopefully, if everything else remains the same, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for answering all the questions and best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, to take it forward, previous participant questions. So I believe the kind of run rate that we have, I hope that suspension PVC stocks you must be out of in Q2, correct? Already at the moment, but we have Q2 stocks.
Suspension PVC, the older stocks would be out by possibly the third week of August or so.
In August, so still demand is low. Does it reflect that way? Because see, we have around volume of 75,000 per ton per the month. So even say suspension PVC, we have a 10,000 kind of a stock. So still it is not out, correct?
The demand will be fully back by, like I said, once the monsoon is over, once the monsoon starts weakening. And that is normally by around September, somewhere around September. So we would start seeing that happen. And that would be a good, that should be a good increase in demand.
Also what Rob mentioned is by second or third week of August, is the total stock for which we have provided for. 10,163, obviously, it would have moved out in the last month itself because we sell much more than that in 1 year, in 1 month, like you rightly pointed out. Along with that, we also provided for intermediates which are equivalent of PVC end product stock. So what Ram was referring to is when he said it will move out by second, third week of August is including the total one, which is around 35,000 tons of stock that we have provided.
Okay. Okay. And how, sir, we are seeing on the OpEx side, I mean, particularly on coal prices also, I understand, is softening. So how do we really see this moving ahead, I mean, in Q2 and Q3?
Coal prices definitely are softening. We are seeing that as well. Coal prices, in fact, shot up in, somewhere around February of last year, it started moving up. So we had an average $114 of coal price per ton for the GCV that we buy. That shot up in Q1 of this year to around $160. We are already seeing it come down to $130. And this is largely because a lot of the Chinese coal buyers are now preferring Russian coal since that is now available. And Indonesian coal, therefore, is available at a much cheaper price. So we are seeing coal being that much weaker.
Okay. And Paste PVC stock is still lying with us because that is the run rate is around 4,000, a little around 5,000 to 6,000 per month. So whether Paste PVC also old stock, finished stock is out?
No, we were carrying around 4,500,000 tons of stock. That would have more or less, that would have moved out. Obviously, to the extent similarly compared to the inventory write-down that we made, that stock still continues to some. It's only the intermediate stock. Intermediate equivalent stock that will continue.
Okay. Then last question, sir. On interest, we were under.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sheth.
This is the last bookkeeping question.
Sir, there are participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question on the exceptional charge. So I think in terms of inventory gains or losses, this is a normal phenomenon in our business. So why have we separately accounted for it this time? And historically, we have not provided any inventory gains or losses. Thank you.
No. Primarily, actually, the test of exceptional item is basically based on materiality and whether it is one-off. In this particular case, it is, of course, significantly material one. And it is also exceptional because we haven't provided, like in the last 13 years, such a large write-down. We have done it maybe two to three times. That's how it is. And it's not routine. We don't provide for NRV on a regular basis because normally the prices will take care of the cost. Of course, the margins could marginally vary here and there, but we don't write down the inventory. Like I said, we have done it only three times or so in the 13 years. So in line with accounting standards, it has been considered as an exceptional item based on materiality as well as due to the one-off nature.
Just to supplement, normal price drops or price increases happen 5% or at best 10%. In the last three, 4 months, this Chinese situation has led to prices correcting by around 45%. And that was significant enough for us to be transparent. We just wanted to be transparent and quantify the inventory loss. Otherwise, usually in these calls, we would get a question on how much was the inventory loss because of a price correction. Just because it was significant, we thought we'd be transparent and we would also quantify it.
All right, sir. Got it. Sir, second question is from manufacturing facility. So when do we expect the first phase to get commissioned? And given that it has been operating at almost 100% utilization, why there has been a delay in terms of working on this particular project? Thank you.
The CMC project, it's actually, we were waiting for our approval related to that. So it's on track. I don't see any delays at all. We had indicated that we would commission this sometime in the June, July 23 time period, and we are on track right now.
Yeah, we are in fact on course for the project completion. We had indicated even during IPO as well as later, we had indicated in a phased growth in CMC, and the first phase was supposed to come in H1 of next year, and we are on course for that. There is no delay in that process.
Right, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Yogesh Tabari from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, if you can just share the prices, that is the average prices for Q1 FY23 and the current prices for caustic soda, chloromethane, hydrogen peroxide and suspension PVC.
Okay. The Q1 prices we would talk about, current prices we prefer to avoid. Q1 prices for suspension PVC average was at around 123,500. And caustic soda you wanted, that was around 56,000. And chloromethane you wanted, that was around 60,000 rupees.
And any indication on currently this is, how has this trended, the prices of these products?
The suspension suspension had has corrected now somewhere around 92,000 rupees levels. That is the one Rama is also talking about, a significant drop which normally doesn't happen. And caustic still holds good, it's somewhere around that range only. And CMP also is more or less in this range, around 55,000 levels or so.
And sir, lastly, on the specialty chemicals, so if I look at realization, that is if I divide your revenue by volume, for specialty chemicals, it has declined on both Q1, Q1, Y and Y basis. So on year-on-year basis, the decline is more. So, and the realization was quite strong in the same quarter last year. So, what would be the reason for it? Any product mix actually?
Yeah, that's primarily due to the fact that the paste PVC prices during the last year was quite high in Q1. In the current quarter, actually, they normalized and came down. That is the, that accounted for that variation.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshita Aryan from Green Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is related to refrigerant. Like, what is the sales percentage of total revenue from refrigerant gases on YOY basis? And are there any future expansion plans for the same?
Okay. Refrigerant currently forms a very negligible part of our overall portfolio. It's, you know, in terms of percentages, you know, it's around 1% of our total sales. It's not very significant. Definitely we are looking at this as well as one of the areas where we could grow, because there are adjacencies here which we could look at. And we have a long history in making about, we started off with chlorofluorocarbons and then also we are now in hydrochlorofluorocarbons. So we have a long history here, a lot of experience. So this is one of the areas that we are looking at.
Okay. My second question is related to PVC paste resin. Like, can you share the percentage sales of PVC resin that is generated from auto sector? Again, on YOY basis.
From the auto sector, I wouldn't have that information with me readily right now. I can request my team to reach out to you after the call and give this to you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and pardon me if this is a repetition. But I just wanted to confirm that the reason for basically lower sales in this quarter vis-a-vis the previous quarter is that the demand has been on the softer side. That's one. And secondly, the inventory numbers that you gave out and also the position in terms of liquidation, can you please reconfirm that what kind of inventory you are holding as of June in terms of finished and raw material, and how much have we liquidated and how much is still a high cost inventory is still left with us? If you can just let you know, reconfirm that.
So we talked about an inventory equivalent of around 35,000 tons of suspension PVC in the form of finished products as well as intermediates, and a significant part of it will get liquidated by the second week of August. And on the paste PVC side, we had an inventory equivalent of somewhere close to 22,000 tons, and that will also get liquidated this quarter, during this quarter. most of it.
Right. So this is the finished and intermediate inventory. Anything
sorry,
on the raw materials?
Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly, Mr. Tiwari.
Yeah. Is it better now? I was just saying that like this is the finished and intermediate inventory. Anything on the raw material side as well that we are holding?
It covers everything. When we have provided for it, we have provided right from feedstock to finished product. We have covered in that item.
Understood. So this will be liquidated in this quarter, as you're saying. And secondly, on the demand side that I asked, that the sales drop that we saw in this quarter vis-a-vis previous quarter, that's mostly because of the softer demand you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
On both paste and SPVC.
Demand really impact was largely because, like I said, people were buying for need rather than for the usual stocking levels. They were destocking in a falling price market. That is usually what happens. And once prices stabilize, then the stocking starts all over again. And that's what we will see.
So can you give us some color on what kind of demand did we actually see in India on an overall basis in this quarter, in the first quarter? If we are to look at it from a YOY perspective or on a sequential perspective and overall demand for the PVC in the quarter, any sense you can give us on that in that direction?
Yeah, sure. Suspension PVC market in Q1 was around 850,000 tons, which was 27% growth over Q1 of last year and around 13% growth over sequential quarter. So I think you should only look at it on a year-on-year basis. Paste PVC also has grown year on year at around 60% in this quarter. But that that is a little higher because in the first quarter of last year, you also had the impact of the Delta wave. So to that extent, the numbers were a little subdued in the first quarter of last year. So if you keep that in mind, still a growth. So that's why we believe that the post-pandemic degrowth is now being made up. We are starting to see the demand come back strong.
Right. So the paste PVC, suspension PVC you mentioned has grown by about 27% YOY and 13% QOQ. I suppose that's pretty strong growth, sir. Please correct me if I'm wrong over this. So why is that our production didn't keep up, with the demand which was there in the market?
So our sales, the production kept up. We didn't lose any production. It's only our sales.
I meant sales, sir. Yeah.
Obviously, when there was that flood of Chinese imports that are coming in at those kind of prices. So obviously that kind of this, that was there. So we also held on to some prices. We didn't want to follow the Chinese prices all the way down. And we assumed that the demand would come back and prices would stabilize. And that was the reason. We didn't want to panic and push the market further down.
Understood. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us on this call this afternoon. We tried to answer all your questions. If there are any questions that we've left unanswered, please do reach out to our investment relations advisors, and I'm sure that we will be able to address your questions. We appreciate your interest in our company. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Chemplast Sanmar Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.